Recorded from the Oklahoma State University Stillwater campus, this is the Inside OSU podcast. Here are your hosts, Megan Robinson and First Cowboy Darren Schrum.
Hello and welcome to the Inside OSU podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined once again by my co-host, First Cowboy Darren Schrum. And we have a national champion in the house, equestrian head coach Larry Sanchez. Coach, I could not help but notice that ring on your finger.
Yeah, this is the one from the Big 12 championship from last year, the 2022 Big 12 Equestrian Championship.
Have you designed the national championship ring yet?
I wore it all weekend, so I thought I'm going to try something different today, and I hadn't worn this one yet, so I thought I'd put it on today.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Season starts October 1st. How does it feel to enter 2022 as the reigning national champs?
You know, to me, It makes me a little guarded, you know, because I know that every team that we're going to compete against is going to put a target on our back and is basically going to say, we want to beat the defending national champions. And so we're always a team to beat, but I think this year it's even more so, and for that reason. And the one thing we've been talking to the girls a lot about this year is making sure that they don't get comfortable in this championship, that the next one's going to be even harder, and we need to make sure and plan for that.
So how many girls are returning from the championship team for this year's team?
Well, we lost three starters.
Okay.
The remainder are returning, and which is good. We thought we were going to lose four. And we had one call me in June and ask if she could use her COVID year. And
awesome.
I said, you bet you can.
You bet.
And so she's back. Sydney Ziegler, she's back. And the majority besides those other three are back. And so we do have a large number returning. And so we're looking for them and their experience again to help us pursue another championship, whether it be Big 12 and nationals. So that's our goal. Ultimately.
So how many total girls are on the team, and then kind of how many starters are there?
Well, right now we've got 44 on the roster.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We're asked to carry 50.
Okay.
You know, we're helping the school with Title IX.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of football players, a lot of wrestlers.
You bet.
And so we want to make sure we provide a lot of female participation opportunities. Sure. And we have 50 of those.
Right.
COVID kind of hindered our walk-on process a little bit, just because we weren't having unfamiliar faces show up at the facility. So last year and this year, we're working to get that 50 number, and that's something that we're trying to do. But of the 44 on the roster right now, there are 20 points available, or 20 competition spots.
Okay.
We do have a few girls that do compete in two events. So on the western side, JoJo Roberson, who you'll talk to here in a little bit, she participates both in the reining and in the horsemanship on the western side of things. And then we've got probably three girls that compete both fences and flat on the jumping seat side. And then two that just do one or the other. So roughly we're talking maybe 14, 15 girls.
Okay.
Competing on that weekend.
Okay.
Coach, My horseback riding experience pretty much stopped at my horseback riding camp when I was 12 years old. That's all I got. Ridden a few times, but not very experienced. Can you sort of explain equestrian to people like me who are not that familiar with the sport?
And me as well, because I've been, and I can't judge the jumping. I'm thinking, well, they're setting really straight. The horses look good. The riders look good. Then I don't really know how they're scored.
So. Well, it's the ones that make it look the easiest is
right.
They're probably your best riders, because what they're doing is not easy. There's a lot going into what they're doing. And in the sport of equestrian, first of all, in the industry, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and there are many arms to it. You know, like ball sports, you know, you got football, volleyball, basketball. They're all ball sports, but they're all very different in their own way. And same thing in the horse industry. You know, you might have one side of the horse show industry could be saddle seat. Well, saddle seat is completely different than western or even jumping seat. And so like volleyball or basketball, it's hard to be good at all of them. Mm-hmm. And so what you see is specialization. Now, collegiately, we had to narrow it down. You know, we could have opened it up a lot more, but as far as the limitations on coaching and the expertise that's required in each of those disciplines, we narrowed it down to four. We've got two disciplines and then two events within each of those disciplines.
Okay.
And so on the jumping seat side of things, we have fences and flat, and on the western side of things, we have reining and horsemanship.
Okay.
And so we recruit girls in the industry that specialize in those events and try to get them you know, to commit here to Oklahoma State and then see how well they translate into the college game. And it's a little different. In the college game, it's very much a team sport. There's 20 points available, like I said. Our goal is to win 20-0, you know, so we want to win all 20 of those points if we can. We have a lot of meets where it's, you know, 11-9. 10-10, and then it goes to the tiebreaker or whatever, because everybody is really good at this level. So we're trying to recruit those girls that are the best in those events. And so I'll have a saddle seat mom call me and say, you know, my daughter's a junior in high school. She wants to come to Oklahoma State and compete on your equestrian team. And we have that talk, and it's hard for them to understand, you know, she might be a national champion in saddle seat. Well, it's not what we do. It's the difference between volleyball and basketball. And she might be a great rider, and but it's just the differences in the rules, the difference in position and what you do.
Yeah, it's linebacker like, versus cornerback versus D-back, right? As
exactly.
As football is right.
And if they're very athletic and they're smart, they can figure it out. But 4 years isn't that long to change a lot of things, which is the differences between those events. Okay. And so that's why we want to focus strictly on, you know, the stock breeds, Quarter Horse Association, Paint Horse Association, you know, those are associations where in the horsemanship and then in the National Reining Horse Association where we find our reining riders, that's mainly where we go to recruit and try and find those girls because they're competing at the highest level in those events. Same thing about in the jumping seat. You know, there's some of the top events in the country going on this fall, and so we're going to try to get to as many as we can and recruit those top riders to come and help us stay competitive on that end as well.
Sometimes, I mean, you're talking about comparing it to football positions, and sometimes you see a quarterback change to a tight end or a running back because they're not going to make it to the NFL. Can you do that with riders from saddle seat? If they're a really good rider, can you make them a jump seat or a Western rider?
You can. It just takes time, and it's just learning the differences. You know, it's once you understand the basics, it's a horse is a horse. It doesn't matter what event you're in. It is a horse. It's just the way that it was trained, and then communicating with that horse in the way that it's trained in order to do what you're trying to get it to do. And those sort of things sometimes are very different. The way you sit, your approach to it, your communication with your hands and your legs, all of those things are different. And so, you know, just like anything, there might be a little steeper learning curve for some more so than others. We're trying to get those girls that are very versed in what we do already so that we can just polish and refine rather than teach a whole new discipline to.
So like when you're doing recruiting, so I think you might have had a potential student on campus today.
I did.
I actually saw you. So when you're recruiting, you're just recruiting specific positions probably, right?
Yeah. I can't name specifics, of course, sure. NCAA rules, but I did have a recruit on campus. She's on the jumping seat side, okay. Junior in high school. Just very talented, very accomplished. We can see her doing very big things in her junior and senior year of high school. And then... You know, it's just up to her to see if Oklahoma State's a good fit for her.
Sure.
You know, we very much are a family within our team. You were at our banquet last spring, and that was mentioned a lot. And so what you see with me is what you get. What you see in our girls on the team is what you get. We are who we are. And if it's something that you like and you feel like you can fit into and be a part of, then you'll probably work here.
Right.
You know, it's every sport here on campus. One thing that we say is if we get them to campus, we got a shot because you see the atmosphere, you meet the people, you see the campus, you see all the good things about Oklahoma State. But the East Coast girls that I'm recruiting on the jumping seat side, if they don't come to Stillwater, you're probably not going to get them here.
Right.
Because I don't know what they have in their mind.
Right.
That what Stillwater is or what Oklahoma is, but until they get here and their eyes are open, they really don't know. And I did ask that question at lunch to the young lady that's visiting this today. I said, you know, be honest. What before you came, is this what you thought you were going to see? And both her and her mom said no.
And I agree 1,000%. Students, whether they're just academic here for academics or athletics or whatever, if you can just get them here to feel the family culture, the cowboy culture, right? Just the environment, see the campus, just be a part of it. And especially when students are on campus, it's incredible. You kind of touched on the championship banquet that we had last year. And so kind of switching gears a little bit. So Casey and I attended, Dr. Shrum, we attended. And I've known Casey for 33 years. I probably see her cry 4 or 5 times ever, right? And so we're sitting there, and all these girls are just amazing. Their academic achievements, you know, not just their athletic achievements, but their academic achievements, the way they conduct themselves, the way you conduct yourselves, the way your coaches. And she gets up on stage, and she started to cry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it was, I was like, well, that's, you know, it's just a little different for me to see that. And so, you know, it meant a lot to her. And I asked her, I said, you know, that's crazy, Casey. And she said, Darren, she was, I was so proud of each and every one of those girls. Mm-hmm. She said, that just overwhelmed me. She goes, I don't do that. But she said, I was just so proud to see what they were achieving. So if you could talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
You know, one of the things that I value is the ability to be able to bring riders into my program. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't have to take anybody. We go out and we recruit, and we value character. And we value who they are as a person. You know, granted, we're not even looking at them if they're not a good rider. But we really put a lot of emphasis on who they are as a person and their character. And because you can work with that. And I've had in the Western side of things, one of the biggest goals that you can reach is being a world champion. And I've turned world champions away. I didn't recruit them just because I didn't feel like they had the character or they were the quality person that we want to bring onto our roster. And so it starts there. It starts trying to bring those good kids that had a good upbringing, that were raised right, right? Yes, sir. No, mm-hmm. sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. We try to bring them onto campus and recruit them. And then our hope is that if they continue to impress us in that way, that they feel the same about Oklahoma State as we feel about them. And so we get those girls on campus and then stick them in the system, which our academic services for student athletes is incredible. As coaches, we try to lead by example and be genuine. I think the worst thing you could do is recruit a kid, and then when they get here, it's completely different than what mm-hmm. you sold them in the recruiting sure. process. And so that's the one thing I think we try to do. You know, the girls know that I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I am what I am. You know, we live and die by the work that we do every sure. day. And so they know we're pouring everything into them because we show them every day that we care about them as a person first, and then their growth as a rider and as a student, you know, after that. But first of all, we care about them as a student. And so we value that, and they buy into that. And you know, as a dad, my youngest just finished her master's here at Oklahoma State, and she's going to be a licensed clinical counselor or a licensed professional counselor. When I'm going through the recruiting process and I'm talking to the parents, I put myself in their shoes. You know, hey, I've got, what if my daughter was going out of state to ride under somebody mm-hmm. I don't know? What would I want them to see? What would I want them to know? And so being genuine in that is something that is very important. Mm-hmm. And I've found, you know, they may not like me at the end of that visit weekend,
right.
but if they don't, that's okay, because they probably won't work
here. Right. That's right.
And the same thing about the size of the community, right? When you're recruiting, Stillwater's not a big city. So if you're a big city girl, you know, this might not be the place for you, sure. but you got to feel comfortable. But if you value the sorts of things that we can offer here, then it'll probably work. Then they get in the system. Like I said, they value or they take advantage of our academic services for student athletes. They learn that dedication and hard work. They learn that they're only 1 point out of 20 that are available, that it's just as important for their teammates to be ready to go in as it is for themselves. Right. And they start having and developing that others above self mentality. Then that's when you start to see the family buy-in and then the success, because they're not just going in feeling they're alone. They go in feeling like they've got, you know, 49 other girls behind them
sure.
encouraging
sure.
them to do well.
You bet.
Coach, you've been here 23, you're entering your 23rd season. You're the only coach this program has ever seen. I'm going to brag on you for a little bit really quickly. 6 NCEA national championships, 7 Big 12 conference championships, 60 All-Americans, 23 individual national champions. And something you said several times in your last answer was the academic services. Mm-hmm. You've coached over 150 academic all Big 12 performers. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this program has seen so much success under your mentorship?
You know, you got to recruit the good kids first. You know, if you have the ability to go out and find them and bring them in, that's our job, and that's what we need to do. And so finding good kids that have the ability to succeed in all those areas is the first thing. And then every one of my girls will tell you academics comes first. You know, we're not one of those sports that, you know, we'll just get by and then we're going to win a championship. No, they know that, if they don't succeed academically, that their writing is going to be in jeopardy. So they need to succeed in academically. And then a long time ago, we figured out that if they come to practice and they're thinking, oh, I got a paper due, and I didn't even start it yet, they're not going to be focused on practice. So encouraging them to take care of their homework and their assignments on time and on schedule, then they can come to practice and be at practice. And so we have that mentality and we preach that to them every day. And I'd like to think that it's paid off. We're recruiting very smart, very academically successful girls to start with. So that helps too. I honestly don't do a whole lot other than just encourage that academic success. And we want you to get a good job after you graduate college so you can go on and support your own horse habit. And their parents are always very happy to hear me say that. But it's being successful in that career that you choose so that you can have that extra money to be able to go and do what you love, which is compete on horses. You know, I'm very competitive. I think that shows in everything that I do. And you know, we love to go out and ride and compete and be the best that we can. And it's just real easy to get them to buy into that same culture. And the things that don't work, you change. The things that are working, you try and even get better at. And just keeping that same mentality throughout. And it's worked so far. So we're not going to change a lot from year to year.
Awesome. Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time. We're going to do a little switch up quickly and bring in two of your riders, Maddie and Joe. But Joe, we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You bet.
We will be right back after this quick break with Maddie Fussell and JoJo Roberson. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Inside OSU podcast. Megan Robinson with co-host First Cowboy Darren Shrum. And now we are joined with two equestrian women, JoJo Roberson and Maddie Fussell, national champs. Ladies, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
How does it feel entering this season as the reigning national champs?
Honestly, it's still kind of hard to believe sometimes. You know, we think back on it and we're like, wow, we really did that. And we're about to go do it again. So,
for sure. I mean, I think it's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But it's also like really exciting. And like, I don't think it's fully settled in yet. But, like, once the season starts, it's, like, everyone's going to be, like, they're the Nani champs. Like, we got to beat them. So it's, like, really exciting.
I think it'll be really important that we don't think about it like we have to stay on top the entire year because we're number one, which obviously that's the goal. But we have to also keep reminding ourselves that last year we went through a lot of ups and downs. And this year could be the same way. But as long as we get to that end goal, that's all that matters.
And your team was honored at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff football game a couple weekends ago. What was that experience like for you to be honored in front of all of those fans?
I mean, I think it was like really exciting. I think we deserved it. Like, we worked our butts off last year.
National champs. Yeah, you deserve it. Yeah. I mean, own it.
We went through a lot of ups and downs. The downs were really down and the ups were really up. And like hoisting the trophy at the end of the season was like really incredible. So it was exciting.
It was really a moment we got to just look back and remember that and be fully in the moment. And then seeing the whole stadium, because I believe it was a sold out game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing and everybody cheering. And, you know, my mom took a video and we looked back at the video and she was like, I wish you could have been up here. It was so loud. It was amazing. And I'm like, that's just, it's really special.
Honestly, everyone,
you go right ahead.
Walking back to our seats, it was like everyone was clapping. Like as we were walking through the stadium, it was like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Well, I'd kind of brought up with Coach Sanchez, and, you know, people are extremely proud of you guys because national champions, that is so rare. People don't understand that. And so I'm sure you guys all have social media following and all that. I'm sure that probably really exploded probably after winning a national championship. You guys have a lot of young ladies that like to follow you guys and you know, you guys are being the example for them. So how's that impacted your following, I guess?
I would definitely say that it is a generally younger crowd. And it's entirely, you know, from industries that I'm not necessarily always around or girls that I don't know very well. And it's the younger generation. And it's really cool to see how much they're invested in Oklahoma State Equestrian specifically. You know, it's encouraging, and I want to encourage those girls to pursue that dream of going to college here. And I'll help. I had a girl reach out from Paris, actually, and I was just in shock. I was like, wow, this is so cool. I'm so excited. You know, if you want to come and you want to do this, or you want to compete at the world show, like, you should definitely do it. If you need any questions, let me know. But it's just really unique to be able to see, to be able to meet those people because of the position we're on the team, if that makes sense.
You bet, you bet.
And confirming Paris, France, not Texas.
Correct. Yes, yes.
Can never be too sure in this part of the country. Yeah.
I mean, like, even our freshmen coming in, they feel like so much pressure because we've won the national championship, and it's like, no, like, y'all are here to help us win another one. And I think it's really cool because we actually have 11 freshmen this year. Mm-hmm. And so it's like our team grew, and like, we're going to be better than last year. So it's like really exciting to look forward to. And social media wise, like, everyone's like, how do I become a part of a national championship team? Sure. And like, you just try to help them through the steps.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because it doesn't matter what sport it is a lot of people think, oh, I can do that. Right. Well, there's out in the backyard doing different whatever activity or event you're doing, and there's doing it professionally or at the collegiate level, at the level you guys are doing it at. And it's something you'll look back when you're 75 years old, you know, and I'm sure the universe will have you back every 5 or 10 years to celebrate your championship. And it's something that can never be taken away. And there's so many people that don't get that opportunity. And so, and I just want you guys to know, people are super proud of you guys. Casey was so proud of you guys at the year-end banquet, and she was just blown away. It just, you guys' professionalism, the way you conduct yourselves, and the way you perform at that live level and keep up with your schoolwork is just amazing for her. So congratulations again. That was from her too. So
we'll tell her thank you so much.
You bet.
And for the support as well. It was amazing to see her there.
Good.
You both ride Western, horsemanship, and reining.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm learning. Can you talk about the differences between the two of those events to people like Darren and myself who are novices when it comes to the sport?
Well, I'll let Maddie take over horsemanship.
So horsemanship pretty much is based off of your body position, like heels down, elbows have to be in, you have to go through a pattern, and we have to memorize the whole pattern the whole week before. So, and then we get 4 minutes to warm up on the horse and then go do the whole pattern and get judged off of it.
Is there a new pattern every competition?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So, like, we spend the whole week prepping for it. And then, I mean, obviously, that's a part of it. Like, you had to memorize the pattern or you'll get a zero.
It's like a different team every week then, yeah.
So, but that's horsemanship. And then Joe, just on reining.
So, to compare the two, reining is a lot more high speed. Horsemanship is a lot more intricate, so there's a lot more fine details that the judges pay attention to in regard to your body, where the pattern's laid out, placement. It's a lot tighter of a pattern. It's hard to explain, but reining, a lot more people are familiar with. It's the large, fast circles, the sliding stops, you know, where the dirt flies up on the sides. That's reining, and then
Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes, Yellowstone. Yep. Mm-hmm. And like reining, you can sit however you want. I mean, obviously balanced on the horse, but it's a totally different style.
I mean, sometimes we even ride reining horses and horsemanship. So like, I mean, you have to make them maneuver through a tighter pattern, which makes it more difficult, and they're used to going faster. So,
yes.
So there's 4 different types of horses then, because it's reining and horsemanship for Western, and then English is jumping seat and
fences.
Yes. Fences and flats. So there's 4 different horses that do all those. Like, so one horse doesn't do all 4 events.
Right.
Okay. So like on the English side, the fences and flat horses like mostly cross over. Okay. So like they can do both, but like mainly the horsemanship and reining horses, like one goes super fast, one goes slow. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. It takes a different type of horse to do reining. They have to be super talented in order to be able a different athletic build, so to speak.
Now, are those generally quarter horses, or what type of horses are they?
Yes, okay. Quarter horses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When we were talking a little bit before the interview, we talked about the horses at the competition itself. So the school provides them. Is there some sort of strategy when you're picking which horses you're going to use for a home competition?
Yes.
For sure.
Definitely.
That's the secret, right?
Yeah. You know, that's the inner kept secret. You know, you can't give away too much. No, but I mean, it just depends. You know, like we have in horsemanship, we have a super nice horse. His name's Chili. And we honestly don't use him that much because when it comes down to it, you know, the other team, he doesn't – sometimes he can be tricky. But in general, you know, both girls can go through and have a pretty solid pattern. So then it really comes down to the small details, and that makes it harder to take an edge on your competitor. So we don't use him a lot. But then also if we put in a super tricky one or one that pulls some really nasty moves, then it's also bad on us then too.
Sure.
I mean, it can come back and bite us in the butt too. Like,
yeah,
like the rider before us, so they could draw him first and then we could get him second. And if they light the horse up, like that's bad, then we're going to end up having a bad horse. And then it's at that point, it's whoever had the best pattern. So
do you guys wear spurs?
Yes.
So is any of the other opposing team ever spurred one of our horses that, you know, if they get upset with them or anything like that? I mean, I have to do that for cues, right? But like they've gone overboard and you're like, hey, that's my horse, right? So yes, does that ever happen?
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you address it with the riders?
you really can't do too much except for get on after and just try to fix it. Try to keep them calm. And tell them, you know, sorry about that. Right. I'm not going to do that to you.
Have you ever spurred an opponent's horse?
Normally, that's not the best way to get them to do what you want them to do. So our team generally doesn't do that. Now, some teams, that's a strategy. For us, that's not normally how we do that.
Wow. Interesting.
When we spoke with Coach Sanchez, he talked a lot about recruiting and getting the right people. It wasn't just about the rider. It was about the character. What drew you both to Oklahoma State?
I would say the biggest thing is everyone was like, it's family, family, family. You always hear family everywhere. And, like, it truly is a family. All the freshmen this year are like, this team is legit a family. Like, you will not go any other place and it'd be like this. Like, we've all connected super, super fast, and it's just like the first month of school.
It's hard to say, it's been like 3 weeks, yeah.
Like, the season hasn't even started, and we're all like on the same page. Like, the scrimmage ran so smoothly, and like, it's honestly really special.
I would agree with everything Maddie said. I mean, both my parents actually graduated from OSU, so I kind of was a little biased, but at the same time, I wanted to keep my options open and really choose based on the environment, and OSU just was everything I imagined it would be for the family, the team. I mean, when you think about it, it's 50 girls on a team. Like, that's a hard dynamic, and it could be really tricky without the right coaching, the right leadership, and you know, our coaches and our upperclassmen have really created an environment that is just really amazing to be a part of.
I mean, we all support each other 24/7. We're all there for each other. Yeah. So it's very special.
So, JoJo, you're a senior. So what's your major?
I'm a finance major.
Do you have a job lined up, or what's your future look like for you?
So I did an internship over the summer. It was at Adaptation Financial in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And I have the option to go back there after I graduate. So I may pursue that as a financial advisor, but I'm going to keep opening up my options and taking new opportunities and see where that takes me.
Does coaching interest you, or lessons or anything like that interest you?
I have thought about it a little bit. It's definitely not out of the options, but it's probably not at the top of the list currently.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now you're just a junior, so what are you thinking about?
I really want to go into medical device sales.
Oh, you
so
did. Awesome.
I'm a business management major and marketing minor. So
that'll be good. You make lots of money in that area. So I was in pharmaceutical sales, so we did pills versus devices, but it's definitely a great career path.
If you were to continue equestrian at the next level, what would the next level be?
There's a lot of different routes you can take. I think the most, you know, common route, become a trainer. You really just have to build your program from the bottom up. I mean, obviously going into it, if you have more of a reputation, it's a little bit maybe easier, but you have to decide if you're going to own your facility, if you're going to rent a facility to keep your horses at. I mean, it's really difficult because there's no route to go in on the western side really that is just a professional paid position, I would say. I mean, there's a couple opportunities, but in general, most people start as trainers, self-employed, and have to just build their program from the bottom up.
I mean, it is a very hard job. You don't get any days off, and you work in the hot, cold, snow, anything. Like,
you have to love what you're doing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself having horses, though, throughout your life?
Yes.
For sure.
My parents are actually both horse trainers. So I've witnessed the struggles of it, and I've definitely decided I want to keep it as a hobby.
Smart.
Yes.
Expensive hobby, but
it is.
Yes, expensive hobby. That way I can keep my love for it just as strong. You know, it's not a job, it's a hobby.
Totally, totally understand that. Well, Maddie and JoJo, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy week. I know you guys have practice and are gearing up for the start of the season, so thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Good luck to you both. Repeat, right? So that'd be awesome. So.
Two more rings.
There you go. Need one for both hands, right? So that would be awesome. So congratulations again to you guys.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Inside OSU podcast. On behalf of my co-host, Darren Trum, I'm Megan Robinson. Go Pokes.